I think it's been a great way to cast vision to my members that I have. Instead of having to squeeze in everything that I'm desiring in our church on a Sunday morning sermon, they're hearing it throughout the week through my podcasts and through my vlogs.
Love it.
And there's been, I can't count how many times somebody came in, and it's really funny. One couple said, we just looked up Disneyland, and then you showed up, and then we figured out that you're a pastor. We thought that was cool. And then we found out you lived in our same city. So yeah, we're coming to check it out, and they still come. So we're trying now to be more strategic on like making ads for people in the Queen Creek area.
Yeah.
Naturally, a lot of people find my channel that aren't from our area. And there's so many of my viewers live in the Midwest. So I'm realizing like, I need to let Queen Creek people know that I'm here. So I've been thinking strategically on how to put those ads just so they find out about what I'm doing.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by Trey Van Camp, vlogger, pastor, husband, all kinds of things. And so we're going to learn about Trey on this podcast. But Trey, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, I love it. Love being on here. I followed you, man, I don't know, for a long time, and I didn't even know that you knew me. And then all of a sudden you started commenting on my videos. I was like, he commented on my video. So I'm super pumped. This is our first time actually ever, you know, talking to each other via video still, but you know, it's technically face to face. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, me too. And I slid into the DMs and just reached out to you. I have wanted to reach out for a long time, and I have been watching the YouTube videos.
Awesome.
For about a year or so. And so I am a fanboy.
Right on.
And so I'm pumped about talking about the vlog. But before we talk about that, I think we have more important things to discuss. Of the time zone issue in Arizona, can you explain what's going on with the time zones in Arizona?
So Arizona's like Jesus. We're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. So this whole, I grew up never understanding, fall back, spring forward, what does that mean? Like, does back mean you go back an hour? I guess that makes sense, but does that mean like we used to be 9, now it's 8? All that stuff throws me off, because in Arizona and Hawaii, the two greatest states in our nation, we don't do daylight savings. And so so what's weird is the time is always the same. However, our time zone is different. And that's what throws me off. So when I hear Eastern time, I think, oh, wait, what time of year is it right now? Because sometimes it's 3 hours ahead, but other times it's 2 hours ahead. So it takes like legitimate brain power to figure out what time of year it is. And does that mean plus 3 or plus 2? So that's where I'm at. So I was like, I text you today. Hey, it's 12:35 my time right now. Does that mean we meet at 2 or at 4 or 8? I have no idea. I'm just letting you know what I see on my clock. I should have just Googled Eastern time zone, but I didn't do that. Of course not. I'd rather just text you and embarrass myself.
I think we should all run on Arizona time. The fact that we do time changes is the most ridiculous thing in the world anyway.
Right. It's not needed today.
And at the end of the day, on the East Coast, we don't really go by East Coast time. We go by iPhone time. Whatever our iPhone tells us, we just let it automatically change.
You would never notice.
And we don't even know. And so it is unbelievably ridiculous. And the fact that you have to even do math or think about that is ridiculous. So I'm glad we cleared that up. And I'm going to just start. I'm going to set my phone, I think, to Arizona time and just go by Arizona.
Hey, it's the life, man. It's the life.
I love it. Well, man, let's talk about who you are. I'm so eager just to talk about vlogging, but I think to understand why you're vlogging, how you're vlogging, all of those things, let's talk about like who you are, what your background is, what you do. So maybe get some background, family background, church background, all that.
I love it. So I am a fourth generation pastor, and so that's a big part of my story. In fact, what's really cool, I was just in St. Joseph, Missouri this past weekend, and I learned before leaving for the trip, it's a church partnership I have, and my grandfather actually pastored a church there in St. Joe in the 60s. So I got to go drive by his old church and parsonage. So that was really cool. So my immediate family, and then I'll kind of tell the whole story, but my beautiful wife's name is Jordan. And then I have 3 girls, and, one is almost 4, one is almost 2, and one is 4 months. And so it's Faith, Selah and Trinity. Absolutely love them. I'm the third. I'm William Trey Lamar Van Camp III is my full name. I was really hoping for William Liam Lamar Van Camp IV. I just don't know if that's ever going to happen now. So I'm pretty wounded right now, but I love my girls. I love them to death. So God's will is always the best way. So we're just running with the punches on that.
Nice.
But we are tired of being pregnant. It's been a lot. I just can't imagine us getting
pregnant. Someday you'll sleep again, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know when. And so, yeah, I grew up in the church. My dad was actually what we call quote-unquote normal person until I was 12. He was a successful concrete company owner. And we weren't rich, but we definitely weren't poor. We were pretty wealthy, pretty well off. And then at 12, my dad got the family together and said, hey, God's calling me to plant a church. And we're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And our life was dramatically changed after that. And that meeting that night, he said, I want you guys every morning and every night to pray to God and ask, what is your spiritual gift? Because you're going to be serving in this church, and I want you to serve in the way that God has gifted you. So every night and every morning, I would pray every single day, God, what is my spiritual gift? And I believe it was pretty much almost a year to the exact date. When I was 13, I was at a Discipleship Now conference. A pastor was speaking on 1 Kings 18 about Elijah standing up in the middle of a generation who refuses to stand up for the name of God. And I just felt called to ministry. Like the Holy Spirit never cleared, like such a clear, almost audible voice of, I'm calling you to do this for your generation. So that's when I knew I was called into full-time ministry. So since I was 13, I've had that in my focus. And when I was 16, I preached my first sermon ever on Easter Sunday morning at a Chinese church that my grandfather was helping out after he retired. He was kind of the interim pastor there. So that was great. I had an interpreter. And so even with an interpreter, it was only like 13 minutes long. Yep. And it was terrible. Yep. When I was 17, I started a once-a-month gathering at my high school. We saw like 30 kids come to Christ that year, my senior year. And then I went to college. I went to California Baptist University. And I told God, I'm a church planner, but I told God I will do anything but plant a church. Yeah. So I try to pursue missions. I try to pursue revitalization of churches. Mm-hmm. And I walked through many of those doors. God kept closing them. And I finally realized, wow, God has actually wired me to be a church planner. I'm just so different than my dad. I thought there's no way I have what it takes because I'm not like him. But then I learned there's more than one type of church planner. But the other thing is I wanted to play it safe because like in 2011, I had to sell my truck for our family to eat that summer. Wow. Several times we'd show up and no one was there. And I just remember that gut-wrenching feeling of like, this is hard work. They don't respect you until you have a building. I just didn't want to live my life like that. I just wanted to have an easy, cushy job. I wanted my main job just to preach every Sunday and make a well-off living and love people and send out missionaries. But when I graduated from college, my wife, I had a few job offers and she's like, honestly, what would you love to do? And I said, I would honestly love to go back home. And it made no sense because I didn't have any job offers back home, no money, but we just said, I think I need to plant a church. So I went back home, helped my dad's church for a couple of years. We actually grew it. They have a building now and it grew exponentially when I was there as the associate. And then they launched me out as a church plant. So I am coming up this January on our third birthday, which is insane to me. Wow. And so that's like the story outside of the vlogging world. I know you want to get into that soon. And I love talking about that. Not enough people ask me about it, but yeah, that's kind of the journey where God's been, and God's been really faithful to us. We've pretty much, in the last 3 years, we keep leading our state. We're Southern Baptist. So in our denomination, we're either in the top, this last year, we're in the top five, but the 2 years prior, we were number one on most baptisms for a church plant. The area we're in has a very big, not a very good survival rate. So we're about to celebrate our third birthday. About 7 out of 10 church plants in our area, their third birthday is usually the last day. They usually just say, hey, we tried. It's not working out. Let's close our doors. We don't have any more finances. So thankfully, we're not at that point. We are getting stronger and stronger every day, and we're pushing forward. But I get it. It's been tough. We're just battling a lot of apathy out here, battling a lot of unbelief. And the people who are Christians, which we're not really attracted to, we want to reach non-believers, but the people who are, they're like, what are all the programs you offer? We're like, we're a church plant. We just have the word of God and friendship. And that's our fuel right now. And so It works for non-believers, and it's fantastic. But yeah, so I don't know. It's been quite the journey, quite humbling. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm so thankful I get to document the whole thing.
That's awesome. And so maybe talk a little bit before we get into the vlogging of what is, you know, your church plant that's 3 years old. You've grown a lot. Yeah. You talked about number of baptisms. So I assume you're reaching a lot of lost people then in your area. Right. Are there some distinctives of your church? So I'm ordained Southern Baptist as well. So I come with that background that is very traditional. And so I'm assuming you're kind of going a more non-traditional route, yet you have a traditional history. Tell me maybe a little bit about the DNA of your church of stylistically maybe, or demographically, are you reaching young families?
That's a great question. So I don't know. I love tradition and hate tradition. So I try to do both. So we're actually a church right now. We're really making moves to see if we can get some property soon and all that. But right now we meet in a movie theater.
Yep.
And so that's very new and hip, I guess, what all the old people would call it. and so it's kind of a trendy type vibe. We really use the big screen. We use a lot of technology, obviously, with my vlogging. We're a lot of cutting edge in those ways. However, we partake in communion every single week, which isn't necessarily a Southern Baptist thing. A lot of them only do it once a quarter, but I really, studying church history, I've really found just the beauty of centering your whole service on the blood and body of Jesus Christ and our redemption that we have through him. So we do that every week. So that's kind of different. Very often we open up with a Nicene Creed, which is very traditional, but we actually do it with a video that looks like cinematic and it's like a movie trailer, but it's actually just the Nicene Creed being quoted. But then we do new songs, old song. We kind of just do a little bit of everything. Our main demographic kind of obviously is people in their 20s and 30s, because that's kind of who I am and who we are. They say that, like, you know, you reach who you are. So we have a lot of little babies. We don't have a ton of elementary school kids yet. That's our prayer, our next season of growth. We want it's kind of hard in the theater, to be honest, like kind of crafting great environments for them, but we're trying to come up with new ideas every day. But so we have a lot of nursery, but we have a lot of college students because we're really close to the engineering campus for Arizona State University. So we are having a Christmas party this Thursday night. Our ministry is going really well there. So you have a lot of college students, a lot of 20s and 30s, but then you actually have a lot of people in their 50s and 60s because their kids are in their 20s or they're really passionate about what we're doing because they want us to reach the next generation. And so thankfully we, you know, in a sense, we're very multi-generational. We don't have every generation yet. And that really bothers me. And that's something that I'm really trying to do. And so many times we reach a family at a park and then they come, but then they're like, oh, there's not a whole lot of other kids with third grade kids. And it's like, well, if you stay, we're going to go get another one. We're going to keep growing that, you know? And so that's just the honest, I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard. So those are the walls that we're hitting. But yeah, that's about the general demographic. We have a lot of kind of, our area used to be known for being blue collar concrete. I do concrete in the mornings with my dad still. But who we're reaching is like the white collar, the engineer type people, those who work from home because they're in a tech company type thing. So the culture is changing in our city, and thankfully we're reaching that new culture that's been moving in.
Nice, nice. Well, now I'm intrigued too about the concrete business and that you're doing that as well. And having three girls, and I've got two girls. And so I know the world of fathering girls and the incredible nature of it. And I too expected to carry on my family tradition of men that is going to end with me. And I'm good with that. So let's talk about vlogging. I've never heard anybody call you this. So I'm going to give you the title now. You're the Casey Neistat of pastors.
Yeah,
I haven't already been given that title.
Your couple times. I love it.
It's so creative and it's so fantastic. Where did you get the idea, the thought to start vlogging your journey of starting a church, or maybe even just where does the idea of vlogging come from for you?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. That's like my hero. So I copy a lot from him, no lie. So he's a good hero. I've actually met him, good guy. Nice. But anyways, so when did it start? So October. So I planted my church in January 2016.
Okay.
Up to that point, I wouldn't consider myself a creative. Okay. I was the football, basketball jock in high school. I was the nerd in college that just spent all of his time reading books and writing. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I did a little bit of Photoshop stuff though. You know, I dabbled in that. I'm not going to, you know, I did do some creative. I've always enjoyed it though. Always have like loved watching movies, loved all that, but never thought I can do something about it. But then October of 2016, it was actually a Facebook ad of Gary Vaynerchuk. Yeah. You heard of him? Obviously you have. So I watched a video of his and I got intrigued. That video didn't have any language in it. So I started watching his other stuff. And then I quickly found the Q&A he had with Casey Neistat. Yep. So I actually found out about Casey through Gary. And so I was like, ooh, this sounds interesting. So I clicked on his profile in October of 2016. Up until that point, I thought YouTube was for stupid cat videos and people who wasted their time with life. Seriously, I was like, I don't got time for YouTube. That's just stupid stuff. Anytime somebody shows me a YouTube video, they want me to laugh. And I didn't think it was that funny. So I watched Casey Neistat. My mind was blown away. I just started binge watching all of his stuff. Yep. And then he would randomly shout out somebody. So then I'd watch his stuff and started to realize that, wow, there's a genre out there called vlogging. So I started in November of 2016. So October, I watched it. I bought a video camera. 1 month later, I uploaded my first video, which I think is important. Way too many people spend time. Should I do this? Should just try it. And if it was terrible, delete it later. But like,
let's talk about that first video. What camera did you get? What was your first video about? How did you edit? What was that process for you with the first video?
The camera I had at that time was a Canon Rebel T3i.
Okay.
It didn't have a starter camera. Yeah, it didn't have a microphone on it. I did get the 50 mil Nifty 50.
Yeah.
At that point, although you know you can't really vlog with it, but it's good B-roll. My first video was a hunting video. I was with my grandpa and I thought at that time it was his last hunt, although I just went hunting with him 2 weeks ago and I got a buck. It's on YouTube. But I was like, I want to document, like, I don't know how much longer I have with my grandpa. He's 80 at that time. He was 80. I was like, let's do it. And so I just videotaped. And so I took the whole weekend and I made it into, you know, like a 6 minute video. It's still one of my highest views video.
That's like, awesome. Your first one. Really?
Yeah. And so like, honestly, my highest viewed video is Disneyland Pro Tips. It's up to 90,000. And that was like my 15th video, like not even that. Like I'm almost at 300 now.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious. Cause it's like, you'd like, come on. I feel like I've gotten better, but it's just, I titled it right. It was the right time. I guess somebody shared it on Twitter. I don't know how it blew up. But you never can figure out the stinking algorithm. Ironically, a lot of my biggest viewed videos are from when I first started.
Wow. So you just started. The idea, was the idea connected to the church of like, I hope this will help grow the church? Or what was the end game of starting to do it? Or just because Gary said you should do it, or Casey and I said you should do it. What was the thought of where this would go?
The idea first started when I thought, wait a minute. When I'm watching Casey Neistat, he is preaching a sermon every single day. Yeah. He is influencing a generation. And I started studying and researching and seeing how many people actually watch YouTube and how many people, they cannot wait every single day. It's like Bible reading to them. They had to watch a Casey Neistat video before they started their day.
Yeah.
And I thought, is there any Christians doing this? Like this, all I saw was influence on a very strategic platform. And I thought, somebody has to be doing this. Yeah. And I hate saying no one was doing it. I don't know. I couldn't find anybody, especially from the genre that I thought in my mind. So it also made it really hard because I thought, man, I'm going to have to pioneer this space with ministry. It's going to be tough because it's easy to copy somebody. Yes. It's really hard to be original, but I knew I had to be original. And so my desire was like a few things. One, I planted my church at 24 years old, which is very, very young. And so I knew people didn't trust me. Like I didn't earn trust right away. And so I thought, ooh, this channel would be great because if they find out about me, they can catch up on my life, watch a few videos and realize who I really am, what I really care about and how I'm not just some 24-year-old kid who got away. You know, like when you hear about the 18-year-old mayor, it's like, oh, that was a joke, you know? Yeah. So I was trying to prove that this isn't a joke. Yeah. And then the other thought was selfishly, I would love to document this part of my life. I would love to look back when my kids were little. I think that, my theory right now is that this is a really, I mean, I feel like this is a fun time of life, but also for ministry, nothing has come easy at all. It's been roadblock after roadblock. And And I just kind of thought we would be further by now. And so it's kind of fun to be able to document this, though, and then come go back to it when God has answered everything that I believed. And it's like, oh, God was still faithful then. Like, I just wanted to watch that. And I wanted my kids to watch that. Like, my grandfather is a huge part of my story. And he passed away 4 years ago. He passed. Yeah. He started pastoring at 16. Yeah. I would do anything to watch videos of what he was like when he was my age and how he got so successful. He yeah. was an incredibly successful minister in his career. And I just thought, how cool would it be if I passed mm-hmm. or fail? I don't know. I hopefully will do well in life.
Yeah.
Like, I want to show people how I got there. And yeah. so that was like, those are the main reasons I started. And I have to be reminded of that because I can get caught up in the other reasons that YouTube yeah. brings. But always when I center myself back on, oh, it's to grow the kingdom of God. And it's honestly, hopefully yeah. pass this on to my next generation.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me going.
You know, I would love to have watched your grandfather's vlog, you know,
yeah.
if you could see his story. And I think about my grandfather was the family, you know, the guy who walked uphill both ways with barefoot, mm-hmm. you know, in our family, you know, I'm standing on his shoulders today. If
right.
I could have seen him in the Navy and I could have seen him work his way through college and a job and, you know,
exactly.
it's beautiful. The documenting that you're having now that your kids are going to get to see is beautiful. And I love seeing that. I'm curious what you've seen over the last 2 years, the outcomes of it to date. How is it affecting your local church? What are you seeing? Are you seeing more people coming because of the vlog? Are you seeing maybe more deeper connections? Is there some kind of disconnect that's maybe created as well that creates an awkwardness in any ways with your vlogging?
Yeah. So I try not to, like on Sunday mornings, I'm not like, hey guys, I'm a vlogger. You know, I don't want to like rub that in and tell people this is what I do. And like, so like, I don't ask a lot of people, how did you hear about me? Like, I don't want it to be about that. I want it yeah. to be like, hey, we're here to serve and we want you to be a part of this. And so my first thought isn't like, hey, was this because of my vlog? Yeah. However, through natural conversations and just living life, I think it's been a great way to cast vision to my members yeah. that I have, yeah. Instead of having to squeeze in everything that I'm desiring in our church on a Sunday morning sermon, they're hearing it throughout the week through my podcasts and through my vlogs. And yeah. so it's been cool how I've been able to shape their thoughts and kind of realize the direction we're going just through authentically vlogging my life. Yeah. So that's been huge. I've yeah. had a lot of people just trust and so it's really developed our leadership better.
Love it.
And there's been, I can't count how many times somebody came in and it's really funny. One couple said, we just looked up Disneyland and then you showed up and then yeah. we figured out that you're a pastor. We thought that yes. was cool. And then we found yeah. out you lived in our same city. So that's yeah, we're awesome. Coming to check it out and they still come. So yeah. there's been ways where it's been, I will say we're trying now to be more strategic on like making ads for people in the Queen Creek area.
Yeah.
Naturally, a lot of people yeah. find my channel that aren't from our area. Like yeah. I just have, like I was just in the Midwest and there's so many of my viewers live yeah. in the Midwest and in yeah. California and everywhere. And so I'm realizing like I need to let Queen Creek people know that I'm here. So yeah. I've been thinking strategically on how to put those ads just so they find out about what yes. I'm doing. But yes, it has definitely helped our ministry for sure.
Interesting. And I think a lot of pastors, you know, then they are so focused on their local congregation that
yeah,
it, you know, I'm curious. I think they're curious of, is this an effect, you know, that would happen?
Right.
But realistically, though, you are in many ways pastoring two congregations. You're pastoring your local congregation and
yeah.
your YouTube congregation. Do you see it that way, or is it an outlet? How do you perceive this now group that you are speaking into and attracting and, you know, shepherding in some ways? How do you perceive
that's funny.
That?
I've never viewed it that way. No one's ever told it to me that way. I like talking to you. This is that. Yeah, it's true. Like so as a pastor, I love the local church. It's my yeah. greatest passion. I think yeah. that's where I can't get on board with the full out online church experience.
Yep.
I'm just not there. I don't know. And I know a lot of people disagree, but I'm just not there. However,
yeah.
I'd like to say, show me a pastor who's producing more content online than I am. Like mm-hmm. it's not like it doesn't mean no online content, but I yeah. just still see so much value in the face-to-face. But yeah, like several, I mean, just even last night I had somebody text me, their prayer request. And so I've been praying for them. They had a big issue with their family member. I get that at least like 3 times a week from my viewers. Hey, this happened. Hey, pray for my friend. I'm going to share the gospel to him this week. And I encourage him, which is something a pastor would do, I guess, in the normal congregation. And yes. Then what was so cool, just this last week, I got a message on Instagram by this guy that I started following because he's a really good designer. Yeah. And then he messaged me last week and said, hey, I just want to let you know, I've been listening to your podcast and it got me out of a funk, and it actually, I got saved and I went to the closest church down the road and I got baptized. Here's my photo. I got baptized. Thank you. I was like, how cool is that? Wow. And it's like what's funny is he drove to like one of the largest churches in America. So it's like, I just hoped out a large church just get a little bit larger. But I was like, you know what? That is so cool. Like, who knows the kingdom impact that I'm making? And I just want to be faithful to that. I don't want it to be just about my local church, because I feel like that's losing sight of the kingdom. And if there's a pastor I can encourage, if there's a random person in Idaho that can all of a sudden now start going to church because they heard of, like, they found me randomly, like, praise the Lord for that. So those kind of stories keep me going and make me realize this is a lot bigger than I even know. And so just to keep pushing forward.
I love that. And I cannot wait to see where this goes. I can't wait for a year for you and I to jump back on and just hear more stories of because I think you're just on this verge of explosion, and 300 past videos you did are going to continue to minister while the 200 new ones.
Yes.
Which is like the power of YouTube.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yes. I'm about that. Like you got me excited real quick. But like my thing is, what's so great, like I keep telling God, like I feel like I did a sermon about this. I actually got to speak at the Arizona Pastors Convention, like the main pastors conference, which is crazy. I shouldn't have been there, but because of YouTube, they invited me. And my sermon was, I feel like I'm blessed, but still barren. Like I feel like I'm favored, but not yet fruitful. And it's really frustrating. But it's really cool about like this YouTube journey. I feel like there has been fruit and there's a lot of great stuff, but I also know with confidence the way I've prepared the table, God can send favor at any time he wants.
Yes.
And I will be able to feed people so quickly, you know, like I'll be ready for those people pouring in. And that's what gets me so excited.
Yes. You know, just comparing social media a little bit, a Facebook post is typically dead within 24 hours, maybe 36 hours, where a YouTube video will likely have a 5 to 10 year span. So my longest standing consulting client is Nick Vujicic. True. And he has tons of viral videos. There is one video though that was recorded about 5 years ago, and it is his number one video month over month over month for the last 5 years. No matter how many new videos we had, how many old ones. Mm-hmm. And there's months where it spikes again. And it is amazing the way YouTube works in that way. And you never know. And honestly, several people in the ministry didn't even like this video and debated on whether to post it. It is just so incredible the way YouTube works. And your point too of like your most popular videos are not the ones you would have probably predicted or preferred to be the most significant, but that's the beauty of YouTube. I'm curious what, I'm an online church guy, so I'm a firm believer, in online church, but I love that the YouTube pastor is not a believer in online church. I think this is the beauty of the internet is we don't all have to, and it's not like you embrace the internet or you hate the internet. There are different ways to use the internet, and there's different ways to understand kind of the ecclesiology around how church is done most effectively. And the way you're using YouTube is unique, and it's creative, and it's aligned to your ecclesiology and what you're called to be in a local church pastor and as a content creator. Your family, I'm curious too, coming from a heritage of pastors and you vlogging, do they think you're nuts or do they think it's cool? What's the family's opinion around your vlog?
I used to say my mom was my biggest fan, and then my wife wasn't very happy with that. But my mom like loves it. She comments on almost my videos. She's all about that life. She got so pumped when Brady Shearer gave me the shout out, and she was, oh, and now she loves Brady. And anybody gives me a shout out, she's like, they're good people. And they like, she like watches all of them, and she's like into YouTube now, which cracks me up. My dad is like the cowboy, old school. He loves what I'm doing and he totally supports it, but he doesn't get it. Yeah. So that's kind of his style. I mean, everybody in my family is super supportive of it. They've been incredible about it because they've been able to see the fruit from it as well. Yeah. And what's always so great about how I was brought up is they've always believed in me. Like, I always have believed God's going to do great things because I was told that every single day of my life. And so my family thinks that this is the avenue that God has called me to do that. And so they just cheer me on. They help me anytime, any way that they can. And a big part of that is they let me film them for funny parts of my vlogs, and it's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I started as a social media pastor at Community Bible Church 8 years ago. And my parents have still, I think they're still embarrassed to tell their friends what I did for a living.
Oh, really?
They have no idea what I do. And I think they quit trying to explain what I do for a living. And it is funny just generationally. And I love that your mom is such a big fan. I don't think my mom even knows how to go to YouTube.
How funny.
Look at a video. And the fact that she comments is huge.
Yeah, I know. I actually had to teach her that part, though. She's like, I want to comment so bad. I don't know how. So I had to log in for her. And so we're good. Now mama comments.
Yes. And my 9-year-old actually created a YouTube channel recently. And my grandfather started commenting on all of her videos through my aunt's account. Nice. And so it is fun to see kind of how our family is interacting.
So good.
Because my grandfather thinks that if you start a YouTube account, they're going to take all your money out of your bank account somehow.
So of course.
Aunts. Which is logical, but I'm not going to argue with an 86-year-old man.
Amen.
So I'd love to know, as you got into vlogging, you talked about Casey Neistat, you talked about Gary Vee. Are there some other inspirations that you've leaned into and you continue to look to around either both in from a ministry context and from a creative creator context?
Yeah, so I went through a short season of consuming a lot of creators and I didn't find it to be very healthy for me. I think, I don't know. It was weird. I kind of got too caught up and like consumption actually kind of ruined my creativity. And I started almost like, I need to do that idea. I need to do that idea. And I started losing kind of my own style and flavor that I had created. Yeah. And so I actually tell a lot of people, like, just pick two or three, like, because I'm in ministry. I don't got time to sit around and watch everybody's videos. However, some people that have been influential and good friends, like Cody Wanner, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he started YouTube this year and he's daily vlogged every day of this year. And then Peter McKinnon, which big inspiration, he gave Cody Wanner a shout out and that's how he blew up.
Nice.
And great Christian guy. I talk to him a lot. He wears some of my merch on a lot of his vlogs. And so I'm pumped about that. But Cody Wanner has been cool to kind of hang out with and talk. I've never met him in person, but I chat with him a lot. And just his creation style. Like, I love how pumped it is and quick. And I appreciate that. But outside of that, I still have to say my biggest inspirations are Casey Neistat and Gary Vee. And I'd like to say I'm a mixture. You can tell when you watch my videos that I watch both of those people, because Gary Vee, I take a lot of, because I have sermon clips. I have teaching. I have, and so Casey Neistat doesn't have that type of look or that type of video. So I learned from Gary how to incorporate that on your Instagram, how to incorporate that into your YouTube videos, but having it still seem authentic. But then I love the Casey, and my vlogs are always better when I go the more Casey style of just traveling and just kind of talking to the camera and kind of enjoying life and showing people what life's all about as a pastor. And it's been kind of strange about me is I know my niche is I'm a Christian vlogger, but I hate that title. Like I've never it's kind of funny, like Lecrae, I've never understood. I'm like, dude, you're a Christian rapper, quit saying anything else. But now I get it, because I want to reach non-believers and I want them to just find that there's this guy with a great family that's at Disneyland and you just click on it and enjoy it. And so a lot of my videos is just kind of, I do talk about Jesus. My whole thing is that Jesus is better.
Yep.
But you know, my videos aren't 15 ways the tabernacle means, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I do. I just go, oh my gosh, my wife saw a snake and she freaked out, that's my video. And so, I don't know, I'm trying to package my way. So a lot of my inspiration has not been from other Christians.
Yeah.
However, I've made a good community of them, and I try to watch as many of their videos as possible just to encourage them, because they watch all mine and I feel really guilty. And so I try to, but I also have to protect my time. And I also know, at least for right now in the media world, non-Christians are the ones who are pioneering it, which I hate, but it's true. Yes. And yep. So that's who I'm kind of getting most of my lessons from.
Yeah. Obviously, Casey Neistat is like the godfather of vlogging.
Right.
And, totally. And Gary Vee is Gary Vee from a social media context. And Gary Vee was who I read his book Crush It, you know, maybe a decade ago.
Oh, cool. I wish I did a decade ago.
inspired me. But I remember too, I read that and then I read Michael Hyatt's book and I just started blogging back in the day. Mm-hmm. Of platform because Michael Hyatt told me to. Yep. And I was like, if he says it is, he's a smart guy, I should probably do it. And then I figured it out later of kind of why I was doing it. Sometimes I think we overthink even a plan and maybe we just start trying some things and seeing where it leads and what God does. And God leads us in a different direction. We just stop doing it. But I think there's something around creating online content now that pastors, anyone needs to start figuring out, and pastors then they are creating content on a weekly basis already. Why not be thinking about how you can utilize that in a different way? Talk about your creative process a little bit. And I'd love for you to even speak to your gear, your editing program, are you doing it? Are you using somebody else? Do you have an intern? What's your process?
So I'm church planner, baller on a budget. So it's all me and it's all Craigslist. So I've never purchased anything new. I've always hustled and did a Craigslist deal, met somewhere in a sketchy parking lot and got everything I have. So as for gear, you want to do gear first, then creative? Yeah. Remind me, creative Let's process.
Gear, and then software and process.
Cool. So I'm scattered, so you have to remind me again. But so gear, I have a Sony A6300. If I were to do it right now, I'd get the 6500, or I'd wait because I hear they're coming out with another one. What I hate is that Sony doesn't have a flip-out screen, and it bothers me. However, I also like it because I'm not looking at the screen. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at the camera, which is very big. I hate when vloggers look just to the right of you. Yeah. It's like, look at me, okay?
Boy, Casey, where's the sunglasses?
Yep, that's the sunglasses hack. Yep. Yeah, but he has that, so I don't want to do that all the time. Although I think it's brilliant. So I have the Sony A6300. Yep. I have the video mic, Rode Video Mic Pro on top. Yep. So it's a shotgun mic, fantastic mic. I've had it for like 2 years now. I got it almost right away, and it has like been a champ. And I've only used like 3 batteries out of the whole 2 years, and I've made a lot of videos. It's awesome how it keeps battery. Although it died on me this last weekend, which really stunk for my vlog. But and then that's what reminded me, like, I need to get more batteries. Yeah. So I have that. That's like the initial. I have the Joby tripod, Casey Neistat style. Yeah. I have the Gorilla Joby Gorilla Pod, which is like a tripod that will bend and kind of go anywhere you want it to. However, Joby, give it 2 months, and now it's not as rough and it falls and it's super annoying. That's the setup. But then I have a backpack that fits all those things, and I have a drone. So I have the DJI Mavic Zoom. I'm obsessed with it. I absolutely love the Zoom. Gives me so much more creative shots. I love putting drone shots in my vlogs. I have that. I'm trying to think what else I use. That's like the main go-to. I also got, I don't know what it's called, a Sennheiser. It's a wireless mic that I put on top. It's what Gary Vee uses. Put on top. I got it for Black Friday last year, and it's great for when I'm teaching and when I want to do vlogs where it's the camera's in the room, but I'm doing like a staff meeting. So it's just a lapel mic, and that one's, it's incredible. Nice. And then I'm using for podcasts right now, I'm using the Blue Yeti mic.
Yep.
And I want to upgrade, but that's what I'm using right now.
Yeah.
And it's not bad, but I don't know. I get envy. I'm like, oh, I need the greatest, latest. I need to stop that. Anytime I make money.
What is on your wish list? Is there a new camera on the wish list?
There isn't a new camera. I get so scared because I love the Sony profile. I have a certain look, so I'm scared to change like the color. Like, will it change all my color grading and all that? So I'm waiting for Sony just to get better at life. But like I wanted the Panasonic GH5 for a while, but then I hear their autofocus is bad and I can't do that. I need autofocus to be great with my vlogging. Yeah. I'm not a camera guy. And I think this gives a lot of people hope and encouragement. Yes. I put it on auto. That's it. I don't know how to do ISO, aperture. I kind of get all that stuff. Yeah. I don't get it. And so I just want a camera that does the work for me. And the Sony A series does a great job at the autofocus and does a lot for me. So I just stick with that. I will say I've changed the lens game now. So I used to just always do the kit lens. Hope I'm not getting too boring with all this.
No, this is good.
So my first, actually when I bought the camera from Craigslist, the guy had a 50 milliliter f-stop 1.4, I believe, 1.8, 1.8. Yeah. So that's great. Great for B-roll, 50 mil, great for wedding shots, all that. Yeah. So I that used to be my go-to B-roll lens. And then recently I got the 16 milliliter, millimeter 1.4. And so it's great for vlogging and it's super blurry background. I love it. It's just pristine. And it's a Sigma. So that one, I had to get a Sigma. And then I'm not going to lie. Last week I met a student up in at ASU and I got his 10 to 18 millimeter, you know, wide angle lens, which is great for vlogging. It shows a whole lot more. And with Sony A6300, you're always worried if it's showing your face at the right angle, but with the wide angle, you know, you're going to be seen.
Yeah.
So I like that, but although it gets a lot darker. So like the 16 milliliter with the 1.4, because of that aperture is so low or high, I don't know how you call it. It does way better in low light. So my 10 to 18 doesn't really do good in low light. So I have to remember that.
Interesting. But
yeah, that's pretty much my gear. Yeah. I'm not a gear guy. I just like, it sounds like it, right? I kind of have everything, but like, I don't sit there and study and research. I mean, I have, but I know people, they're like always trying to look at the latest and greatest. Yeah. And it's just like, dude, just upload another video. Quit wasting your time. and then eventually somebody will, so that's, and I have a lot of external hard drives. And then for my software, I use Adobe Premiere Pro.
Yep.
It's the best. I love it. And I use color grading on all my videos. Yep. I have a lot of presets I just put in transition.
And did you just self-teach or how did you learn how to use Adobe?
Absolutely self-teach everything. I never took any class at all. They were too slow for me. I was just like, I'd just rather go teach myself. So trial and error, just open it up. It helps knowing Photoshop. So I kind of, I don't know why, I just kind of helped me kind of know the Adobe, you know, kind of language. So I just trialed and erred and Googled random stuff. I'm pretty sure I don't do everything the right way, but it works because I was never taught. So I just figured it out. I probably, probably wasting a lot of time. Who knows? But yeah, all self-taught. And in fact, that's why I'm starting a course because I wanted to help pastors. Cause I think that's a big, big thing. Pastors are like, I don't have time to learn. Like, I don't want to, you know, who am I going to learn from and all this stuff. So, and I also realized a lot of those people who teach you, they're like, so they love all the details. I think it's so cool how they know these things that nobody else knows. And I'm like, I just think people need to know the basics and that's all that matters. And you'll eventually grow into the other stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about that course a little bit. You created a course to help pastors vlog. Talk about why you created it and how pastors access it.
I just get so many DMs a lot, all the time from pastors. How did you do this? What lens did you use? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, this is definitely a need. And then the first year in, I thought about it and I thought, it's too soon. I haven't done enough. I want to be able to really say, hey, I know stuff, you know, like I have experience, look at what I've done, you know, look at my resume. And so I just felt like it was time. So this last month, I actually met up with Sean Cannell.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sean Cannell. Really, really great guy. Awesome. Super humble. And so he taught me like, hey, here's how you kind of run a course and hear how it's effective. And so Black Friday, I launched my course. Nice. And I made a vlogyourministry.com and it's great. Like we had a super overwhelming response. That's like awesome. I'm super excited. We have pastors from the East Coast, the West Coast. We have worship leaders. Nice. I have a YouTuber that has 70,000 subs that signed up for the class. And most of them haven't made a YouTube channel at all. I've had different denominations. I have like, I thank the Lord. It's not just a bunch of white dudes. It's like very diverse. And so like, I'm so excited about that. And I'm excited to learn from them. And so I'm technically starting it December 10th, but the goal is I'm going to take them through six sessions. We're going to take Christmas break and all that off. So it will be done by the end of January. And hopefully I tidied up everything. It's kind of like my beta launch.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I'm making videos throughout these next 6 weeks to where now, after the end of January, anybody can just plop in, buy the course and go through it at their time, anytime that they want.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just go their own pace. So I'm excited because I'm so convinced that this is a frontier for ministry and I've seen it bless my church and I've seen it bless the kingdom of God. And I feel like I'm like, there's nothing special about me. I feel like if every pastor does this, it would just be insane what we can do for the kingdom. So that's when I was convinced. I'm a teacher at heart anyways. Yeah. Why not teach about something I'm super passionate about?
I love that. When I started online church, you know, 10 years ago, and our Facebook page exploded, I kept getting pastors saying things, emails of how can I help? I just couldn't keep responding to all the emails. So I wrote an ebook.
Right.
And I started emailing this free ebook to pastors just because I was like, sorry, you know, just here's an ebook. And then I ended up turning it into a published book. And now I've been able to help thousands of ministry leaders. That's and so awesome. I love that you've created this resource now that's going to help thousands of pastors to learn from what you're learning. And I think that's naturally you're going to keep learning because it's constantly changing and, exactly. and you're going to adapt and adjust to it. If you were to speak to a pastor today and basically he were to say, I'm ready to start vlogging next week. What do I need to do? What advice would you give him? And let's get practical of what camera would you tell him to get? What software would you tell him to use? Mm-hmm. And assuming he doesn't even know Photoshop like you do, what advice would you give him? And would you say, slow down, speed up? Where would you direct him?
Yeah, that's great. I would first off talk about the AVL rule, which is audio, video, lighting. So yeah. Quick primer on, hey, make sure you don't just use, I don't care what camera you get, make sure that you have some sort of microphone attached to it.
Yep.
And then video, like a lot of people freak out about 4K. I don't think it's necessary yet. I shoot a lot of my stuff in 1080 because 4K is so shaky. Yep. So I would just tell them, hey, if you want Sony A6365, fantastic. You want Canon, get a Rebel, get, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know a whole lot about cameras. So, but it's like, use what you have. Use your iPhone. Just start out with your iPhone. Get the Rode Video Mic Me. It's an attachment to the iPhone. Incredible, incredible microphone. So I don't spend too much time on the gear because I – Casey Neistat always talks about that, right? The gear doesn't matter. And I believe that. However, I think the gear helps. So like, I love it. But then I talk about lighting, like, hey, make sure you use natural lighting. Don't make it to where you're dark and the window behind you is bright. So now change the camera around, get a ring light, which is what I'm using right now for this interview. So I actually have like a list that I send to my people in my course, like here's all the gear I use. And I actually break it down to like, here's basic. Here's what I started out with. Here's, you know, my podcast setup. Here's all that. But I would just say, actually start and maybe don't upload if you're not fully confident. But the only way to get going is to get going. So make it, figure out. And so I talk a lot about when we start out, like, okay, who's your audience? You need to know that. Who are you making this for? Where's their attention at? Are the people you're trying to reach on Facebook? Then upload to Facebook, YouTube, upload to YouTube, Instagram, probably upload to all of them, but figure out where they're at and where their attention is and what gets their attention. Yeah. The people you like, do the 5-minute vlogs are great, or is it 2 minutes? You know, just figure out those things that work for you. And then the big thing I talk about is access. So why I think vlogging is so great is because it's bringing them behind the stage. It's showing them your authentic life and how you work through your marriage problems. So that's what's key. The last thing we need is somebody to do a video and act so professional and still have their preacher voice off the stage. And so I always say personal is always more powerful than professional. And so that's the whole point of vlogging. So I would make sure they get that. Hey, open up, be vulnerable, you know, like really talk about the struggles you're going through. But it's such a balance because we don't want to be negative people. We don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing, but it is that tension. But the whole vlogging experience is a tension. It's, oh, I don't want to make it just for Christians, but I also don't want to make it just for non-believers. Like what if, like I want to be Christian in this content. So it's this constant, but I feel like, isn't that the Christian life? Like, isn't that of like, oh, I need to be like constantly reinventing my, like I need to make myself more and more available to people so that people can be impacted by it. So that, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot. I would talk to him for quite a while, but I would just say, hey, find some inspiration and just try stuff. And also like music's very important. So in my course, I talk about, hey, here's like 4 different websites you can find music. And guess what? Before you even start editing, find the song or songs, depending on what you want to do. Think about your vibe. You better start with the song before you even press new sequence and you make your video. Wow. That one's really, really big.
Wow. That's great practical advice right there. I want to encourage pastors that are thinking about vlogging, and because they're probably going to go to your vlog and they're going to say, oh, I can't do this. Right. And I think, and I want them to have a few contexts of your 300 videos in. So
yes.
Go back to Trey's early videos and they're probably going to look different than Trey's today's videos, 300 right. videos. And I've heard Sean say it takes you 100 till you actually feel comfortable on camera, much totally. Less feel, you know, the quality is up to your, you know, so you got to get 100 videos under your belt before you yeah. can even feel like you're confident. And I think
that's the other thing is, when I officially started, I uploaded a couple of November, December, and in March, I said, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And how I did it was I did March Madness. I did every day in March.
Nice.
And that's what pushed me like crazy is like, hey, I have to upload a new video every single day. Yes. That made me have to get creative. That was so huge for my, you know, my creativity muscle to grow.
Yep. I think, I mean, right now we're going into like an Advent season. What an interesting way to maybe even do Advent as a pastor or go through Lent. I think there's some unique seasons. And I think too, the other thing is there's a lot of pastors that aren't millennials, but want to reach millennials. And this is such a good medium to do this. Trey's a millennial. And so he's going to be more natural on camera. You're going to have a harder time taking off that pastor voice from the pulpit that is different than isn't going to reach his, and that's part of getting comfortable. That's part of breaking the ice and doing it. And so to Trey's point of capturing it and then thinking in and then adjusting and watching yourself, listening to yourself, all of those things, you just got to do it. And so quit overthinking it. I hope everyone listening to this will go sign up for the course, because I have no doubt there'll be a lot of value there. But I think practically, even if you don't sign up for the course, just start doing it. And then sign up for the course, and then you'll maybe even feel it and understand it better because you understand the nuances and the challenges that you have going into it. Trey, I've got one last question. I'm keeping you a long time, and I appreciate.
Oh, you're good.
So transparent in all of this, Trey. When you think about where you're going with all of this, what do you dream about? And I can't imagine you can even dream much more than 1 to 2 years from now, but maybe even 3 to 5 years from now. Where do you hope this all goes?
Oh man, I. Oh, well, one thing, my passion has changed. So my theme of my life right now, I was doing a sermon in 1 Corinthians, and my main point that's really kind of stuck in my heart is God will do what he can do when you realize your dream is not about you. Yeah. And that's been in my head a lot. And so like when I was 13 and I surrendered my life to ministries, I remember that vision was so powerful. Like I was so blown away that God could use me to stand up in a generation who's not standing up. And I want that to be me. But I realized what made that vision so powerful was not the fact that I stood up, but the fact that millions of other people would stand up. I'm not saying it's going to be me with millions, but you know what I mean? So like in my vision, like it was so many people. What makes it so powerful is the other people getting on board. And so for me is 3 to 5 years, I would just love if there's so many more salvations, people walking in a church. Another story I have, there's a great viewer of mine who most people she doesn't think that she would be accepted in church. And a lot of churches, she probably wouldn't just because social issues. But she says she gave church a chance because she watched my videos, and she's up in Seattle. And thankfully she went to the right church. They're loving on her and caring for her. Yeah. I want so many more of those stories. And I would love to see these efforts multiply by training these pastors, by training these leaders, and just seeing story after story of people documenting their journey. I hope that there's pastors that do way better than me. Like, I just hope this thing blows up. And I hope we're just not too late. Like, I want us to get started now and not in 20 years when vlogging's the old thing. And now here's the church stomping through trying to do it, you know? And so, I don't know, obviously I'd love for my church to grow from it as well. Again, just at the end of the day, I just want people to see that Jesus is better. That's my main goal for life. My purpose statement is to inspire and inform the dreamers and doers that Jesus is better. So if I do that in 3 to 5 years, praise Jesus, all of these countless hours of editing every night will be worth it.
Yes. Well, man, dude, I'm so fired up right now in that I'm thinking I'm going to call out Joel Sutherland, who's a good friend of mine. I think every NAM pastor that you're investing in needs to buy this course, needs to have this course. Mm. I think Ark needs to get this forever church planter. I cannot imagine Gary Vee. I just listened to a podcast of his today saying, if you are not creating content for the internet, you are irrelevant today. If you're planting a church today and you are not vlogging, you're missing such a big opportunity. I feel like every church planting network needs to be investing in this understanding and really coaching their pastors how to engage in this way. It does not mean you're trying to draw people into an internet church. It means you're trying to engage people in a relevant way. There's just so much opportunity. I love what you're doing. I love how you're sharing it. I'm believing with you that there will be millions that are going to be impacted and reached through your channel. But I think there's going to be millions more that are going to be reached through the pastors that are learning from you as you're blazing a new trail. So I love it. I'm behind you. I love the ministry. Engineering, innovating, all those things. How can people follow you online? How can they connect with you?
Yeah. So just Trey Van Camp. It's three words, T-R-E-Y, like you're camping in a van. So Trey Van Camp. Search me. I'm on Twitter, Trey Van Camp. I'm on Instagram at Trey Van Camp, and obviously YouTube. And I'm hanging out on those platforms all the time. I also have a podcast I'm pretty passionate about. So if you just search my name, it's actually called the Ministre Podcast. Yeah. And so I love putting my name and everything for branding. So my vlog is actually called Document Trey because it's documenting Trey's life instead of a documentary. So just look me up. I would love if you would comment so I kind of know who you're from. I never leave a comment unread. Definitely never leave a comment uncommented back. It's all about the community. And it's such a privilege that people would take any time out of their day to watch what I got going on. And so I want to give as much time and value back to them. So also actually what might even be worth saying on this, cause your, channel. So my vlogyourministry.com is the course, but if you, go to, I hope they understand how to spell it. That's what stinks, but documentary.com. So it's like documentary, but at the end, instead of A-R-Y, it's R-E-Y.com/VIP. If you go there, just type in your email and I'll send you the first session of the course for free. Nice. And so it's 18 minutes long and it's like, I try to kind of go over everything at 30,000 feet to kind of give you some valuable training. And I think even if you just hear that, you can get going and get on your way.
Awesome. And you can, if you didn't get that domain, if you go to socialmedia.church and in the show notes, we will have that link as well as all the links to Trey's socials, Trey's channel and the course. And so all of that is at socialmedia.church. Thanks everyone for listening. If you would go and leave a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you're listening, we so appreciate you listening to this episode of the podcast. And Trey, we so appreciate you innovating and leading and sharing that with our listeners.
Thank you so much. I love you guys. I love what you're doing. Keep doing it.